back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Now batting for Kenny Omega, number one contender, Bryan Danielson, number one. Out, Kenny Omega, surgery, imminent, a lot of nagging injuries, has to take time off. Kind of part of the reason why Kenny Omega turned into more of a sports entertainer the last bunch of months. So, with Kenny Omega, big-time heel, out of the picture for the foreseeable future, somebody needs to step in. Bryan Danielson, up for the job, helped tremendously that they were in Virginia tonight, the home state of Hangman Page. Bryan Danielson knocked it out of the park. Loved it, loved it. Yo, look, a lot of you, you know, during the show, felt like the show is lacking something. And no, this is the continuation of Tony Khan being forced to pull back. I mean, yes, they want to do little promos and little vignettes and try to get as many people on the show as possible. But when you look at the match results in itself, you know, not the strongest card. But that's the way they have to go. You know, when you only have four pay-per-views a year, you know, but remember, now in 2022, you could have three Clash of the Champion type episodes. They're moving to TBS. But remember, the three specials that AEW is doing in 2022, I think there's at least three, it might even be more, is going to air on TNT. So now, the one question that you have to ask yourself is, how do you feel? And if you see me looking down, I'm doing timestamps. We got to do timestamps every episode from now on, which I know makes it more convenient for you. But now my question to all of you is, how do you feel about Bryan Danielson pretty much only fighting the Dark Order until January? I mean, you know me, I don't like comparing AEW to WWE for various reasons. You know why. But you know if this was a WWE product, they would do something where in order for Daniel Bryan to get to the heavyweight champion, he would have to face all the members in the group in one night. Gauntlet match. And what would happen? Somebody would get pinned in 2 minutes. Somebody would get pinned in 3 minutes. Disqualification in 3 minutes. Next thing you know, Bryan Danielson fought seven people in 20, 30 minutes time, and they do it all in one night. AEW is going to do it for 2 months. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Yes, Prince Albert, Io Shirai, Woo Games, Woo Games. I'm a big fan of Io Shirai. I cannot criticize her. Anyway, welcome everyone to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. Yes, the intro is new and improved. You know, my friend who does these intros for me, I told him this time around, please, no Karrion Kross clip. Please, no clips of any individual wrestlers. Because if they get released or if they quit or sign somewhere else, the intro is no good. So we got that, and it's pretty cool. By the way, talk about pretty cool. It was only 3 days ago on Sunday when we did the pilot episode of The Sit Down with yours truly. And we got into a plethora of topics. Old school, new school, wrestling, non-wrestling, real life, serious shit, not so serious shit. And we got on the topic of CM Punk. And if you remember Sunday, I said, well, you know what? We could even go back a couple of days. Remember the day before with the pay-per-view recap? And for those that think I'm lying, I actually pulled up the timestamp. It was the pay-per-view recap of Full Gear, 1 hour, 44 minute, 34 seconds into the show. I said, please let Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk continue. I said, I hope they don't do something where they ultimately may end up teaming with each other and then having 2.0 get involved. What do we get tonight? 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. Now, don't get me wrong. Eddie Kingston versus Daniel Garcia is going to be a banger. But, man, we saw that a mile coming. They show up, Acme Insta feud, boom. But the Acme Insta feud that we talked about on Sunday, that all of you were loving the idea, was MJF versus CM Punk. All of you that said in the chat, that is a holy shit moment. Virginia heard you tonight. Because they were chanting, holy shit. CM Punk didn't have to say anything. CM Punk did to MJF what Eddie Kingston did to CM Punk. No handshake. No handshake. That's how you get rid of CM Punk's booze from Full Gear as quickly as possible. So, I liked it. I liked it. Couple of segments tonight I liked. Couple of segments, you know, pretty average, but we'll get into it. We'll run down the show very quickly. We'll also get into a little bit of NXT results. And then later on is a little treat because I'm really planning tonight to go 90 minutes. And believe me, now since we're on the Blue Wire banner, until I'm in the directory, it's not 100% official, but it should happen tomorrow or Thursday. They're working, doing some behind-the-scenes work, trying to migrate my old shows over. For all of you out there that have been asking me to put retro DTKC episodes back online, to put retro Breakfast with Blossy episodes online again, that is going to happen. It's going to take a little bit of time, but right now the big problem I have is that the episodes from, I think, 3 months ago to like December of last year, I have to re-upload them one at a time, and that takes a lot of work, especially with doing the shows and everything else going on. But, you know, in the next day or two, we will have a big announcement. Now, later on in tonight's show, we're going to do the latest Jon Moxley autobiography giveaway. I will tell you, and I don't want to give my overall review of the book yet until I read the entire thing, but I've only read maybe one or two books in 20, 25 years. I don't read books. I read owner's manuals. And I read the net. You know, if I insist on a book, it's got to be an audible book where they just read it to me. Because I just can't sit there in bed with my reading glasses reading a book. But this book, for some reason, maybe because I know that he was going to write it as if you and I would have wrote a book, I decided to read it. I'm about a little less than halfway through, and so far I'm enjoying it tremendously. So tonight, we originally were only giving away one book. I am happy to say that we're able to give away two, because I had a bunch of books sent to me for free to give away on the shows, and somehow I miscounted, and I looked inside, and there's actually three inside, and there's one over there, not including mine. So we're going to give away two books tonight. Then we'll do it again next week. It might be postponed a day or two next week because, remember, next Thursday through Sunday, I will be on vacation. As of right now, I am doing a show next Wednesday night. It should be early enough for me to get in before we go away. But just one quick plug, and then we'll get into tonight's show. Since I'm not going to be around from late Wednesday night through Sunday night next week, what I'm going to do, because we've never done one on YouTube before. I mean, we've done maybe two or three audio ones in 20 years and maybe one or two on Patreon. But I have never done a rapid fire Q&A on YouTube. So anything you possibly ever wanted to know about me, you'll have the opportunity to do so. I will post a thread in the community section tomorrow, and you have until the weekend to ask away. Rapid fire, rapid fire, rapid fire. If you don't know what rapid fire is, Google it. Because any long questions, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pass through it. The last rapid fire I did was with Mish, and it was probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago on Patreon. And I think we answered like 350 questions in like a two and a half hour period. I mean, so anything you ever wanted to know or you want my opinion on or my picks, you'll have the opportunity to do so. You know, just a lighthearted episode because of the holidays. So anyway, you know, real sad tragedy today. And leave it to one or two pieces of shit to try to turn it into something different. But, you know, there was a tragedy today, a killing, a murder. I don't know if all of you out there have ever heard of the rapper by the name of Young Dolph. I had never heard of him before. First time I had ever heard of him was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I follow Harland, Parker Boudreau. And a couple of weeks ago, he had posted a tweet that he got from a rapper, Young Dolph. And I remember the knife emojis. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I Googled him to see who it was. I knew nothing about him, never heard of him before. And that's how I became aware of the name a couple of weeks ago. Today in Memphis, Tennessee, he was, I think, in a cookie store buying cookies. Buying freaking cookies. And somebody gunned him down. I mean, it just really, really tragic. And I saw it on Harlan's wall today, like, wow, oh my God. And I looked at it. And sure enough, you leave one or two assholes to say, oh, DT, you know nothing about him. You're trying to get clout and attention. I'm like, what a fucking asshole. You know, I don't know anything about him. I never listened to his music. The only thing I knew about him is from 2 weeks ago doing a Google search and getting a little research. And the guy actually was pretty damn popular, pretty damn big, and inspiration for a lot of young kids out there. Gunned down. I didn't know that you had to know someone or follow their stuff or be a fan to feel bad when someone is killed. Very, very sad. So, Young Dolph, rest in peace. I don't know if I'm going to put it in timestamps because, you know, that's going to just look, you know, really stick out compared to all the other topics. But, all right, so let's get into a couple of news tidbits pertinent to this show. First off, you know, as we talked about last week, WWE removing the TakeOver name from War Games was nothing controversial. It's not to strip away Triple H's legacy for NXT or anything like that. It's just people still either refuse to accept it or just too stupid to realize it. NXT is developmental again. NXT is what OVW used to be. NXT is what Heartland used to be. You know, Mish and I yesterday on Patreon, we were talking about it, and I asked a question to our Patreon family, and I ask you the same thing. When Randy Orton, John Cena, Batista, and Brock Lesnar, and look, there was Shelton Benjamin and others. I know everybody always references those four. But when they were in OVW and doing what they were doing, how many of you out there watched their weekly TV, even to now, even to today? Obviously, back then, we didn't have the capabilities to watch it unless you got a bootleg video on eBay. But after all of these years, how many of you out there have watched every week? It's almost nobody, me included. And the thing is, and let's be honest, and this is something I think everybody out there will agree upon, if we watched week after week after week in real time, Cena, Batista, Orton, and Lesnar, learning their craft, honing their craft, improving in OVW, they would get so much complaints and criticism online. Because if you ever get your hands on the weekly series of them coming through the ranks, some of the spots you could be like, oh my God. I mean, every week they would be under the microscope. I still, as unpopular as this sounds, I still think having TV for NXT still adds a lot of unwanted pressure to some NXT stars that are just trying to hone their craft. I mean, of the developmental talents that WWE signs. Not, you know, a lot of them have worked indie wrestling, but some haven't. Some haven't. So when you're put under the microscope on TV and you're no way ready for prime time, that is a tremendous amount of pressure. So now you have wrestlers who are good enough for TV, but not for the main product and main eventing or being a big part of a pay-per-view. So you want to pull back a little bit. So taking the TakeOver name off of it, it eliminates the comparisons to TakeOvers of yesteryear. Sure, there are other War Games matches that have happened too, but it is to diminish, and not in a bad way, to diminish the current NXT. This is developmental. It would be, if you like anybody in NXT right now, and they perform at War Games, whether they're in a War Games match or a singles match or whatever it is, if there's anybody that you like that is going to be on War Games and they're not really polished yet, it would be so disrespectful to compare this War Games to the War Games of yesteryear. It is handled totally different. So when they announced this today, Cora Jade, Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez, and a mystery partner taking on Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai. I mean, come on. Those women worked their asses off in that ladder match. But, you know, War Games now, I mean, there's going to be some spots that people are going to be like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of added pressure. And some of them are not necessarily ready for that position, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Ken Terminator by DQ says he will say that some of the new NXT stars he doesn't give two craps about. Yeah, absolutely. There are wrestlers right now that have not clicked, but at some point, a lot of wrestlers don't click, and then something will happen. You know, you won't know until trial and error and experimenting. I would be straight up with you and tell you that some of the wrestlers that are on there right now, I honestly feel like I don't see them lasting. But it's wrong for me to come up here and say individual names. And look at the grizzled young veterans. I told you, they were going to follow the footsteps of FTR, the Revival, I should say, that they were going to be put in comedy skits to try to get them over with the fans. Remember when I said that about the Revival, people were like, oh, you're nuts. They're not going to do comedy. They're straight up like Brainbusters, Tully and Arn. They're going to do comedy. And sure enough, with the Usos. Now the grizzled young veterans, they're stupid enough that they steal the women's tag team championships. And they lie to grandmama that they're tag champs, the women's titles. So that is the War Games match. Now, the names going around, Kaylee Ray should be the next person. Who do you want to see as their fourth partner? Post it in the chat room, post it in the comment section. And yeah, we'll see if you're on point. So that is the War Games match. Now, the other War Games match on the men's side, it has not been announced yet. Something tells me it's probably going to be Gargano and maybe Dexter Lumis. And I don't know what are the three people you could put in there. Jacket team? Team Jacket? Jacket time? I don't know. But it seems like that might be the way that they're going. I thought about Indy Hartwell one fall, but I don't know if that really actually fits. I'm drawing a blank right now, brain fart. Who was moved over to Raw? Who was moved over to Raw? She still had the feud that was unfinished. Wasn't it with Dakota Kai? Oh, my God. Shotzi's Tegan Knox. And for any of you out there that are going to say to me, oh, DT, Tegan Knox is on Raw now. They wouldn't put her in NXT. Remember, Kevin Owens showed up on NXT, what was it, 2019, when he was part of Ciampa's team? So I'd like to see Tegan Knox. To be honest with you, I think that'd be pretty cool. What do you think? So, we'll get into that later. And like I said, we're going to have a little bit of fun later. We're going to take a look at some random autographs of AEW wrestlers. Now, to be fair, Tonight is only going to be AEW. Next show or the show after, we'll look at NXT. And we will look at the autographs. We'll see who signs beautifully and who fucking just scribbles bullshit. So we will have a funny look later at just various AEW stars and their autographs. Like, who takes the time to sign their autograph really nice and who just scribbles shit? So we'll do that later. All right. So, let's... Oh, Rocka! Chief Rocka! Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to the family. So let's talk about AEW first. Let's talk about AEW. Oh, you know, Mike from New York, since we don't talk about Raw and SmackDown on Wednesdays, he wanted to let everyone know that the Raw audience was terrible. I thought Virginia tonight in AEW was awesome. And I will tell you this. Talk about terrible. I want to show you something. Let me pull up the exact number because I don't want to make a mistake here. Okay, here we go. AEW Full Gear, pay-per-view buy rate. Talk about deceiving articles. Talk about deceiving articles. Mike, I'm only messing with you. You're good people. The pay-per-view buy rate, the early numbers are in for AEW Full Gear. And all I've read today was that AEW Full Gear was the second highest pay-per-view buy rate in AEW's history. Now, on the surface, that sounds awesome. Awesome. Interesting that there's very little buzz about it. Just cut and paste articles, cut and paste articles. Until I said, oh, you know what? Let me go check out what the pay-per-view buy rate was for All Out. Get a load of this. AEW All Out's pay-per-view buy rate was 205,000 buys. All Out, 205,000 buys. AEW Full Gear, the early numbers, and the early numbers are pretty precise, 145,000. So let's be a little bit honest here. When I posted on my preview for Full Gear that it was arguably the most anticipated pay-per-view of the year, I was being honest and sincere. I wasn't doing it for clickbait. I wasn't trying to impress anybody in AEW. I was giving my honest opinion. When I gave that pay-per-view Saturday an 8.5 out of 10, I was being honest with you. I was being sincere with you. When I say to you that I enjoyed AEW Full Gear more than I enjoyed WWE Crown Jewel, and I thought Crown Jewel was excellent, I was being honest and sincere. So please, do not misconstrue what I'm saying right now. But AEW, their pay-per-view buy rate for Full Gear is 30% less than All Out. 30% less. That is disappointing with a capital D. When you look at all the websites today writing and using the title second biggest of the year, and here, go check this out. The Raw rating. The Raw rating went up about 4%. Nothing big, but it's better. And the same websites that use the title AEW Full Gear second biggest pay-per-view buy rate in the history, and leaving out that it went down 30%. For WWE Raw, they wrote WWE Raw increases, but it's the 7th lowest rating in history, comparing it to 1993 numbers. In an age where there was no streaming media. You see the hypocrisy there? And I am a big AEW fan, but I will keep saying it, and I don't care who I piss off, but all of those nut jobs online, the fringe element, the ones that think that Tony Khan one day is going to give them a proverbial hand job, I don't mean a physical hand job, but some type of a rub, those people are damaging AEW more than you can imagine. not only does it piss off fans that they can't even be honest and say that they're a bigger WWE fan than AEW without being criticized and made fun of or being called stupid, but these people out there refuse to confront Tony Khan or bring up ways to make the shows better. Instead, they rather just cover it up. Full Gear, pay-per-view buy rate went down 30%. But instead of focusing on that, like, why is that so much lower? And what do they write? Oh, there was an app for Fightful or Bleacher Report that wasn't updated. I use Bleacher Report's app. I had no problem whatsoever. But only a select few on iTunes weren't allowed to have the current app. Was it racially motivated that a certain demographic or certain towns or states were not allowed to have the most up-to-date app? It's ridiculous. When you see these articles have to write the word "but" in those articles, you know that it's not as good as you think it is. That pay-per-view buy rate should have been the biggest in AEW's history. Should have been the biggest. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be in the matches. We didn't know how awesome those matches were going to turn out. When you buy a pay-per-view, you don't get it for free. And then after you watch it, okay, if you liked it, give me $59. If you didn't like it, you could have it for free. What do you think, when you walk into a restaurant, you know, you eat the food? Yes, you pay for it after, but there's no option. So when you buy the pay-per-view, you're buying it before you even know how the matches are going to turn out. So this idea that, oh, well, it's technical, it's this. They were doing that about AEW Revolution in 2020. There's always an excuse. That pay-per-view buy rate, even if the pay-per-view sucked, that buy rate should have been their biggest pay-per-view buy rate in history. The card was a lot stronger than previous pay-per-views, and it still did 30% less. Interesting when you look at ratings also, and you see Dynamite down 30%. Even though I think it'll rebound, when you see Rampage. Rampage, think about this, everybody. Think about this, and we'll get into the results itself about Dynamite. Think about this with Rampage. Wasn't too long ago when Rampage, for about 8 months, everybody knew that it was going to be on Friday nights from 10 to 11. For 8 months, everybody knew that. For 8 months, did you hear anybody say, wow, that I don't know if how the ratings are going to be, you know, 10 to 11, that time slot. Oh, I don't know. No, everybody was like, wow, everybody, as soon as you watch SmackDown, you tune into AEW. And the ratings will be a million and a half. It is, remember all the, you didn't see anybody out there saying, wow, I'm really concerned. What a shitty time slot. I mean, I can't even see how they would get 500,000 viewers. Nobody ever said that. They kept saying a million and a half, 2 million, 1.8 million, 1.9 million. And when it first launched and it did over a million, press releases up the gazoo. Press releases everywhere about the numbers. CM Punk debuts, crazy-ass rating. Now it drew, what, 515,000 viewers? Leading into Full Gear. And people are like, well, you know, it's a weekend. Awful. Those people are hurting AEW more than you can imagine. Is there anybody out there that Tony Khan respects and follows and talks to that would be brutally honest and say, dude, I don't know about this, or I don't think this is a good idea, and I think this is better for Dynamite than on Rampage, and I don't know if you should do this, and I don't know, in my opinion, I'm just giving it. Is there anybody? Because I can't find anybody on social media that does that, and I'm talking about people with blue check marks. I'm talking about people that do shows. I'm talking about people that write for big-time websites. In there, everything's amazing. Everything's epic, unbelievable. And they are hurting AEW more than you can imagine because there is almost no criticism. Almost no criticism. Jay Lethal tonight gets the main event. I've always defended Jay Lethal. I have always heard that the allegations made against him, the speaking out stuff, I always was told that it was grossly exaggerated. I don't know the truth. I honestly don't know the truth. I believe someone is innocent until proven guilty. Now, yes, it's very, very difficult to prove someone's guilt when it's years and years and years later and there's really no evidence to back it up. I get it. That happens in real life. But what amazes me is that during his whole speaking out, there were so many people that were vicious going after Jay Lethal. And now you have Tony Khan and AEW signing the guy. And they're all silent because they're AEW fans. I mean, again, I take the side of Jay Lethal on this. But it's just a weird, weird environment going on right now. And there's no denying it. It's no denying it. And tonight was a perfect example of it. So anyway, Jay Lethal tonight main evented, taking on Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. Unfortunately, the match was a little bit rushed at the end because there's really no overrun. But, you know, nice, fun little main event. You know, Jay Lethal coming out to the Macho Man music. You know, I honestly expected some different music. Something tells me that Ruckus will probably come up with a new theme song for Jay Lethal. But look, if you remember his days, especially in TNA, I mean, you understand some of the references. But guy is still in tremendous condition. He's now about, what, 35, 36 years old? And you've heard me say it countless times in the past. You know, I remember watching Jay Lethal wrestling in Jersey when he was a rookie. I mean, that's just amazing to realize that it's almost 20 years ago. It's just weird, like, how time flies that freaking fast. 20 years. It's crazy. He debuted at 16 years old. Now, Bash, Jay Lethal losing tonight, everybody and their mother knew that. You know, Jay Lethal, I don't know how he's going to be used. On Sunday, we got into it in detail as far as what we think Jay Lethal's role will be. And Jay Lethal will get some wins, no doubt. They will pad his wins on Dark. They'll pad his wins on Elevation. He'll probably get a match here and there on Dynamite. I mean, you're not going to waste him just on Elevation and Dark. He will get his fair share of wins. But, you know, his job is to help also elevate and bring up the young stars of tomorrow. Absolutely. I tell you this much, man. Dante Martin and Leo Rush is quickly becoming one of my favorite tag teams in AEW. And, you know, it's a little bit disappointing that the Acclaimed was the team to face them today. Don't get me wrong. Max Caster, funny-ass promo tonight, making fun of Dante and, you know, his pitch of his voice and talking about Virginia and virgins and making fun of Leo Rush about he should be a manager and stuff. And I love the Acclaimed. But the thing is, they were ranked number 4 on their tag team contenders list. And you know how I feel about that list. That list is garbage, unnecessary. And I still think of the days when Pac was the number 1 contender for how many weeks and got no championship shot. Yeah, he had a 3-way with Orange Cassidy and Kenny Omega, but that was nothing. You remember Brian Cage? Brian Cage on that list, number 1 contenders list. And then, okay, we're not going to give him a shot. So let's just give him 1-2 losses, and he's out of the top 5. You look at some of these names on that list. Remember what I said? Remember what I said about 2 months ago? I said, take a look at that top 5 list. None of those people on that top 5 list are going to get the championship opportunity because someone like Bryan Danielson or someone else is going to be the focus of it. And it's sad. You'll see it in the women's division. I looked at that women's list, and I see people with like 19-2 records. And then when you look a little bit further, and like 15 of the 19 wins on AEW Dark. This person took on Lisa Loeb, not to be mixed up with Lisa Loeb. I think that's what her name was. Or, you know, Sheila Smith. And, oh, the Wrencher, number 5. You know, come on. I personally think if Dark is supposed to be like the developmental for AEW, you do not mix the wins from Dark and Elevation with Dynamite. Because the rankings are stupid, Benjamin. The rankings are stupid. I mean, it's supposed to make it you know, seem, I mean, I get it, why to use it, but man, it is so deceiving when you see the way things, and look, when Tony Khan gets to sign someone that, and look, I know the reports that Tony Khan met like 2 years ago, knew who his first four or five champions were going to be. And that's all nice and good and everything. There's no way he would have known before COVID that those championship reigns would have taken an extra year, year and a half because of COVID. But the thing is that you can have an envision of who your champion's going to be. But number one, you have to see how they work in your product. You have to see how the crowd adapts to them. And also, you sign other people, and someone signed to a one-year deal or something like that, you know, you may not be able to wait all that time before giving someone a championship opportunity. I tell you, one of the things that was the saddest was tonight after Dante Martin and Lio Rush beat the Acclaimed, Team Taz comes out on the rampway, you know, still trying to, you know, get Dante Martin, doing the same storyline they did with Darby Allin, by the way. And, you know, they mentioned that tomorrow is the one-year anniversary that Powerhouse Hobbs is part of Team Taz. And do we truthfully feel that Powerhouse Hobbs, over the last year, that AEW has been using him the right way? It is ridiculous. AEW has done a garbage job with the heavyweights. Look at Brian Cage. What is he doing? What is he doing? XPW heavyweight champion. Where has he gone? I mean, Lance Archer is injured. And honestly, that's probably, and I know it sounds demented and warped, that's probably a relief to AEW. Because what do you think he would have been doing right now? Seriously, where do you see him fitting in? They have done a horrendous job with the heavyweights. I'm so glad that we picked up on that comment that Cody made early on. About, remember the promo in the parking lot? We're a light heavyweight division promotion. I still, to this day, he must have been thinking out loud. That was one of the worst things that the guy could say publicly on TV, in my opinion. Now, speaking of Cody, I want to just make mention of this because this is news also. You know, we mentioned it on Monday that Cody took his Twitter account offline. You know, again, he didn't deactivate it because there's a difference between deactivating and taking it offline. Deactivating is it's closed and that's it, it's gone. Someone else could snatch it up if they want to. Thank you to everybody who sent me links to Cody Rhodes' appearance on Busted Open Radio. And Cody said that he was removing himself from Twitter and focusing mostly on Instagram. I don't know about Facebook, but I know on Instagram he is. And he said that Twitter, he's leaving it because there's too much negativity and too much sniping on that platform. Honestly, I wish the guy would come back to Twitter. I don't do sniping and stuff like that. You know, it's not for me. I'm too old for that. But the thing is, you know, he's a public figure. You put yourself out there, and you put yourself at the focal point about racism and this and this and this, you know, I mean, and you just walk away. You just walk away because you can't handle that negativity. There's something called the block button. There's something called the mute button. And Cody Rhodes has a whole nation, a world of fans that support him. So if there is a lot of sniping and negativity, let those fans be your representatives and shut those people up. What does that show for Cody that he, and yes, mental health is very important. And I will always say that the mental health, I don't care if you're famous or not. I don't care if you're beautiful or not so beautiful in people's eyes. You know, the guy, yeah, everybody looks at, you know, whether positive or negative. And to just say, you know what, I can't handle the negativity and it's sniping, I'm just going to deactivate myself. I don't know what that shows. All the other people that stay on social media that deal with bullying and everything like that, what example does that show that he himself cannot deal with it. That his way is, let me just take my Twitter offline, and that's how, I mean, he doesn't like that we feel that he's in like an outside world with his beautiful manicured fingers and the way he is. And again, we always said that he works very hard for what he has and he earned it. But this kind of just adds to it like, oh, you know, he's, you know, we're not good enough to, you know, follow him on Twitter or him have a Twitter account, that he could just walk away from it. So, yeah, he's not migrating to MySpace, but I hope he's all right. Now, Brandy, and then we'll get into the results. Like, as we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, we're not going to be one of those shows anymore that spends an hour doing a TV recap. You just watch Dynamite, most of you, and you know it went down. I give you some overall, and for those that didn't watch it, I'll give you some overall and some things that caught my eye, and if you decide you want to watch it, you watch it. We're going to focus on news and discussion and everything else, and we'll throw in some results. Try to be a little different than a lot of the other shows out there. Brandy went talked to Fightful, and she had an interesting comment that I would love for all of you to try to fill me in on. Because a lot of you let me know about Cody's comments on Busting Open Radio. I'm not trying to criticize Brandy Rhodes in any way, but she said something that I honestly was baffled why Fightful didn't challenge her on it. Because I did a whole bunch of Google searches afterwards and I couldn't find anything. And first of all, she is training for an in-ring return. I want to read you, you know, I'll be honest with all of you out there. And I decided not to because I thought it was too inappropriate. You know about that Let's Go Brandon controversy, right? I don't try to feed into it. I really don't talk about it. But a couple of weeks ago, I was going to put hashtag Let's Go Brandy instead of Let's Go Brandon. But, you know, I don't think it was appropriate, so I never did it. Just being honest with you. But anyway, the first quote that she said was fine. And she says to Fightful, and I quote, "I'm back in the ring and been training hard. Probably a lot harder than people think. One thing that is funny, a lot of people have been critical of me in the past as far as my in-ring work, and they don't know a lot about me, and that's just speculative. People just assume that Brandy is Cody's wife and could just put her in whatever spot she wants to be in and she doesn't have to work hard." Okay. Not too much of a problem with that. She also says, "I'm in the ring at least 3 days a week, in the gym 7 days a week, I'm busting my ass as hard as I possibly can, and I want to do well." And that should be commended, obviously. "I want to be an actual contender and myself doing all the work that makes me more confident when I do get back in the ring. I know exactly what I'm doing and what I'm capable of. So far, no problems." This quote has me scratching my head. She says this, and I'm trying to figure out who she's talking about. She says, and I quote, "Hopefully that translates and people will actually pay attention or watch." Okay. Here. "I've seen a lot of people lately saying how I'm taking time away from other women and stuff. That shows me you don't watch. If that's taking time from women, that shows maybe we have maybe one match a year and that's a bigger problem." Who out there have you come across that said that Brandy is taking time away from people on the roster? The only thing that I have ever said on this show recently is that why, when AEW has their Dynamite intro, the first female you see is Brandy Rhodes. Why? I have nothing against her. She works freaking hard. She does a lot of good. I don't have any issue with Brandy Rhodes. But the intro should be focused more than anything about your stars of today. And the first female that you see on the intro is Brandy. Why? Why isn't it the women's champion, Britt Baker? Think about that. Britt fucking Baker is not the first woman you see on that intro. Why? So let me give a little piece of advice to Brandy. You know, maybe she paid attention to a Twitter account with 6 followers that said, oh, Brandy takes up too much in-ring time. You go on Fightful and you say that? There is no show, no website, no journalist out there that is writing right now. Because trust me, if someone wrote something as stupid as that, you'd have every blue check mark that writes wrestling that would say, look at this jackass. He's stupider or she's stupider than Brad Shepard. Brandy's not even on TV and look what this idiot writes. Nobody wrote that. Maybe a troll wrote that. And you go on Fightful and you acknowledge that. If Brandy wants to help the perception about her and Cody, put Britt Baker as the first female on that Dynamite intro, not yourself. Because right now you're not on TV. Right now you're not the focal point. Right now you are behind the scenes. I mean, this isn't brain surgery, but again, let's also be honest. Fightful don't confront her on that. Fightful don't say, who was making such a stupid claim like that? You know, when she says that there's actual people that are saying that, why not say, who's saying that? You're not even on TV right now. Who would be stupid enough to? Nothing. 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 All right, whatever. So moving on, let's get into the results tonight from AEW. We have an opening promo with Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Adam Cole. Obviously planting the seed of Adam Cole versus Kenny Omega. Is Adam Cole going to try to become the new leader of the Elite? Kenny Omega, retrospect about his match, commends Hangman Page. You won it. No complaints. Kenny Omega, very sincere about, you know, Page's win. Kenny Omega then says that there are things that he has to fix, things that he has to change. He has to take some time away. Now, as we said, you know, he's got to undergo some type of rehab at minimum. He has a lot of nagging injuries. He's got to take time off. You want Kenny Omega at his finest, he needs to heal his wounds a little bit. Remember, he has the Mega Championship? He's got a AAA Championship, and he's supposed to face a challenger. I can't remember his name right now. El Vikingo? I think it might be him. And I think it's the first week in December. So more than likely, he's going to be dropping that championship and then having to take time off. So the thing is, he's going to be taking some time off of TV, and he's looking at the Young Bucks. Now you got to picture this. He's looking at the Young Bucks and Adam Cole and says, hold the fort while I'm gone. So Adam Cole says, no problem, I got this. And Kenny Omega looks at him and says, no, I was talking to the Young Bucks. Ouch. Seed planted. So, and then we go to Dynamite itself. Hangman Page today is, not nationally, it's unofficially, Cowboy Shit Day. And I tell you, I think, seriously, and I'm not saying it because of his WWE career, and I'm not saying it because I am a big fan of Bryan Danielson. I honestly think this confrontation with Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page was one of the best confrontations that AEW has ever had. And the reason being is because it worked so beautifully. Bryan Danielson, who is beloved, coming back from retirement, working his ass off, you know, praising Vince McMahon, but also praising why he went to AEW and to wrestle and to do the absolute best. And he's putting in the work. He's wrestling all the time. And even with that, he was able, and grant it could have been Virginia or somewhere else, he got those fans against him tonight. And everything he said made sense. Same thing with Hangman Page. The crowd is chanting, you deserve it. And Hangman Page says, no, let me correct you all. I didn't deserve it. I fucking earned it. Ain't in curse. I effing earned it. So now they changed their chant and they changed it to, you earned it. You earned it. You earned it. So now Bryan Danielson comes out. And he's congratulating Hangman Page. And basically, Bryan Danielson says, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed because I wanted to face Kenny Omega. That's all you had to do to get the ball rolling. Then he makes fun of Hangman Page's jacket, makes fun of a couple of things about Page, and he says that Hangman Page is not even a fighting champion. He's standing there in his jeans, his boots, and his funny jacket. And Bryan Danielson name-dropped WrestleMania, which I had no problem with. Bryan Danielson says, the night after I won the title at WrestleMania, I wrestled. The minute he said WrestleMania, that crowd booed the fuck out of him even more. And they're teasing about having a fight tonight. So the Dark Order is in the ring. They introduced Hangman Page. The Dark Order has the pull apart with Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page. And then Bryan Danielson gets on the mic and he says that your friends are stopping us fighting. And originally, Bryan Danielson was willing to challenge Hangman Page tonight. And then he changed his mind. And it made so much sense. Bryan Danielson said, you've made excuses for all of your mishappenings in your life. I don't want to take that title from you. And then you use the excuse that the only reason why Bryan Danielson won is because he wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared for it. I know the fans of Virginia wanted to see them fight, but it made 100% sense. So now the crowd, let them fight chants, yelling at the top of their lungs. We go to a commercial break, and then we get Bryan Danielson beating Evil Uno with the triangle sleeper. And you know, fun match. I mean, again, you know, the outcome was predictable. And now the question is, like I said at the beginning of the show, do you want Bryan Danielson for the next 2 months to basically only fight the Dark Order? Yeah, I'm sure we may see a tag team match here and there. I don't know who he'll team up with yet, but that's pretty much where we're going with this. And just for safe measure, since they're going to be in Chicago next week, Bryan Danielson issued a challenge to Colt Cabana, who is in the Dark Order. So next week, we'll have Bryan Danielson beat Colt Cabana. The question is, you know, how great will the match be? They have faced each other before. There are some matches on YouTube between those two. And I'm pretty confident the match is going to be pretty damn good. So that's what we have to look forward to next week. MJF, little interview right after the pay-per-view. He's covered in sweat, and he's saying that he's covered, not in sweat, but with Darby's shame. I don't know how the guy didn't have a massive knee injury. You looked at his knee, you saw that swelling. Man, did he have a knot on his knee after that pay-per-view. But he said, what is on the horizon for MJF? And he went like this, looking for a title. I think we may, in fact, see Sammy Guevara versus MJF down the line. Not just yet, but as we said earlier, you know, MJF goes out in the ring, cuts a promo. I mean, takes some hilarious insults about Virginia. So many things he could do in Virginia. He could take a cowboy shit on that title. And next thing you know, CM Punk's music hits, just like what we talked about on Sunday. Crowd chanting, holy shit. Just a stare down, no handshake, and CM Punk doesn't say a word. Shots fired. Absolutely loved it. You know what, Benjamin? I give you props for something. And I almost didn't say it tonight, but I'm going to talk about the backstage interview or the segment with MJF. If any of you out there watch MJF's promo again in the back, I know in the ring he said, you know, it's going to be the number one bidding war for 2024. That's when his contract with AEW is up. But if you go back and you watch tonight his segment that they recorded right after the pay-per-view, he sounded a lot like Ric Flair. If you watch it again, the way he talked and the way he put down Darby Allin, the way he put himself over and talked about his future, it sounded like a combination of Ric Flair and Roddy Piper. I mean, it felt different than usual MJF stuff because it really was just taking shots at Darby. Now, Darby, you see where it's going. You know, and I tell you, I think Darby's interview segment on the show was a little out of place. I think we should have saw Darby Allin's promo either much later in the show or before MJF's promo. Because right after CM Punk and MJF had that little stare down, we had a backstage segment with Darby Allin. I think Tony Schiavone was, it might have been Alex Marvez, but Darby Allin is talking about how he'll rebound and he's looking for the best. And then the Gun Club shows up. And Billy Gunn is like, oh, I heard you while I was walking by and pretty much issued the challenge. And you knew that was the Acme Insta feud for Rampage. And sure enough, it was. So Darby Allin went in one sentence that he wants to face the best of the best to, I got to take on Billy Gunn. So it just felt out of place. It just felt just thrown in there. And it shouldn't have aired right after MJF's segment. Yeah, look. If AEW thinks that they could pad Darby Allin's wins with a match on Dark, with a match on Rampage, if he takes on Colton Gunn and Billy Gunn and Gunn and Stun Gunn, you know, I can suddenly, oh, Darby Allin is 5-0 in his last five matches. It ain't going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. It's perception. If someone feels like Darby Allin is stuck in the mud, there ain't no commentator alive that if you feel he's stuck in the mud, the commentator says, Darby Allin is 72-1 in his last 70. Oh, in that case. And I think you all agree with me on that. As we said earlier, when I did the predictions, I said, please do not give us a distraction with 2.0 interacting after Eddie Kingston loses to CM Punk. Now, I thought it might happen that night. It happened today. Eddie Kingston backstage segment. And basically 2.0 and Daniel Garcia are being interviewed. And next thing you know, Eddie Kingston is having a little back and forth with Daniel Garcia. So you know that match is happening either Friday on Rampage or next week on Dynamite. Maybe they'll save it for next Friday. I don't know. But talk about just random, random, random. And I would not be surprised if they end up down the line going with Punk and Kingston versus 2.0. The exact bullshit that we said the night of the predictions. But look, Daniel Garcia is excellent. So trust me, his match, I think, with Kingston will be better than you think. Tomohiro Ishii. It's not Eazy-E like Bischoff. Instead of Easy, Ishii. Ishii. They beat the Butcher and the Blade. Ishii with the delayed brain buster on the Blade. It was a fun match. You know, it's still having the Hardy Family office, which soon will be the Hardy Family Nation, which will soon be the Hardy Family World because they just keep adding members to it. It was a fun match. You know, Orange Cassidy, you know, doing this dive outside the ring. You know, I think a lot of people just want that interaction with the Hardy family office to stop. I mean, it just feels Okada must be pleased about today. You know, last week, they should have mentioned the chaos stuff not so much last week because all the members that were on Dynamite last week lost. Okada must not be pleased about it. But a fun match. You know, Ishii was good. You know, I mean, talking about the Forbidden Door, you know, let me put it this way. I will bet the ranch that Ishii doesn't have more than two or three matches total in Dynamite. You know, just coming in for one or two matches is not breaking down the door. It's, we don't want to team him up again. You know, it's like just throwing a name in there. It's fun, don't get me wrong. You know, but look at Homicide. You know, we wanted to see Homicide have a little more. He makes one appearance in New York, which we all expected months earlier, and then that's it, nothing. That's a pretty fucking lame Forbidden Door? How's about it's the revolving door? You know, that's what pissed off a lot of people in the early days of TNA. When NWA, TNA, the first couple of years, you'd have some people on TV, you get a little bit invested behind them, and then they disappeared. Because then you realize they only signed them to a 3-match deal. Mid. I agree with you. It's a little mid. We get promos by FTR and Andrade to set up an 8-man tag that will happen on Dynamite. We had a promo by Britt Baker with Jamie Hayter and Rebel as well. This is to hype up next week's match between Jamie Hayter and Thunder Rosa. The 8-man tag match next week, we're getting Pac, Cody, and the Lucha Bros versus FTR, Andrade, and Malakai Black. We had 2 promos. I don't know if we had 3, but I know I might have come in here and prepared, and it might have been a promo while I was in here. But you know, we have multiple segments to set up the 8-man tag match. If they wait until next week for Cody to be angry at Pac for diving onto him at Full Gear, that is just asinine, ass backwards, and stupid, in my honest opinion. But look, this 8-man tag, I don't know where it's going from here. But will we see somebody make a turn? Will we see somebody make a turn? A surprising outcome today, I think, in a lot of people's eyes. Nyla Rose beating Hikaru Shida to advance. Serena Deeb got involved, did clip Shida's leg while she was outside the ring, and that would come into play because Shida did tap out with the stretch muffler by Nyla Rose. Now, we had a funny segment where Vicky had the kendo stick and was going to use it, but Shida grabbed it away and whacked Vicky once with the stick. This match was 10 times better than their work at Full Gear. I mean, they actually had a pretty damn good match. At one point, Nyla Rose doing a diving senton outside the ring through the chair that looked like it freaking hurt. But the story about this one is Serena Deeb causing Shida to lose. Nyla Rose advances. Very interesting because most people out there expected Shida to advance. So Malakai cuts a promo solidifying the 8-man tag match that we're going to have next week. Another match that was announced for Rampage. Very interesting. Because I want to see what they do with Bobby Fish and Adam Cole. We have a tag match for Friday. It's going to be Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy versus Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. Now, will this be the predictable match that we always talk about? That remember what we just talked about last week? That some of the big names that were signed, they throw them in a tag match and so someone else could be pinned. Will they give a loss to Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy? Or is this match being put together just so Bobby Fish could be pinned? It's going to be interesting to see where they go with this on Friday. My gut feeling tells me that Adam Cole may get his win back since they lost at Full Gear. And the Young Bucks may get involved as well. It would not surprise me if Adam Cole gets the pin on this one. But if Bobby Fish ends up getting pinned himself, I want to see where they go with this with Bobby Fish. Because it really right now, it just feels like, yeah, I know, Darren, it's Fish night. You know, if this was Lent, it'd be perfect. All right, what else do we got? So this is your preview for Rampage Friday. Adam Cole and Bobby Fish versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet in the quarterfinals for the TBS Championship Tournament. Darby Allin versus Billy Gunn. They usually announce only 2 or 3 matches for Friday. It's a 1-hour show. Next week, we got Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter for the quarterfinals on Dynamite. The 8-man tag match, as we said, and Colt Cabana versus Bryan Danielson. So, not bad, not bad. The main event tonight, Sammy Guevara retaining over Jay Lethal. Excellent match. Crowd loved it. You know, I don't know what kind of ratings this is going to pull in because, again, you know, it's nothing against Jay Lethal. I'm one of his biggest supporters. And it's nothing against Sammy Guevara. But, you know, you're talking about guys that, you know, I don't know how much of a ratings draw. I mean, you look at anybody in Ring of Honor. Has there ever been any time at Ring of Honor where they were pulling in, you know, awesome ratings? You know, it's the perception of some people. I think tonight, you know, they'll pull a decent rating. I think, you know, it's gonna be really interesting since this is the first Dynamite with Hangman Page as the champion. You know, last week I think they did around like 9:15. And I don't think they were like facing any heavy competition tonight. So it makes me think that they should get up to like 9:30, 9:40 in these ratings. But if it goes down, I mean, I don't know what that says about the current, you know, product of AEW. Because Hangman Page is, you know, for any AEW fan, for the most part, you know, people really wanted Hangman Page to become champion. But if that doesn't draw some people that maybe have not tuned in every single week or watched it on a delay, this is the first Dynamite. It's a celebration, or like I said on YouTube, a champion shit celebration. How do you not watch that live? So we'll see what happens. But it was an excellent match. And again, I wish it would. They should have taken away one or two backstage segments. There was really no need for Malakai, in my opinion, to cut that promo. FTR and Andrade cut the promo earlier. That's it. Announce the match. You take away that. We didn't need Britt Baker to cut a promo on Jamie Hayter. They could have done that on Friday. You take away one of those two segments, and you got 2-3 minutes added to this match. The match ended very abruptly. I don't know how you all feel about Sammy Guevara still using the GTS. You know, because, you know, over the years, you know, one of the traditional respectful things to do is when somebody has a specific finisher, you don't do the same finisher. I mean, I understand that has been laxed for quite some time, and I'm sure CM Punk signed off on it. You know, he gets paid enough. You know, I'm sure he would say, oh, yeah, no problem. But, you know, interesting that they still have him using that move. So Michael Gonzalez says all the people that became interested due to Punk have gone away. I don't think they've gone away. I mean, there are plenty of replays of Dynamite that air on TV during the week. This isn't the only showing. You have stuff on YouTube. You have stuff on streaming media. It's just that, you know, for a lot of people, they're not spending their Wednesday night watching it. They may watch it the next day. Look at me with NXT. I didn't watch NXT last night. I watched it today while I was at work. I just, you know, after Monday shows that I do, Tuesday is the night that I try to catch up with a little bit of rest. And then I do the Patreon show at 10 o'clock. So I watch NXT the next day. So it really becomes, you know, first run is what you always want. Those advertisers are paying for first run shows. They're not paying that type of dollars for repeats. That's why the first run is always important. So NXT tonight, I mean Tuesday night. Let me just put the timestamp so we have it. Okay. NXT last night, we had Tony D'Angelo. Hey, how you doing? Tony D'Angelo, he gets the win over Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis with the easel painting, you know, trying to make fun of Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo with the fisherman's buster. And with the referee a little bit distracted after the match is over, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes come down, beat the shit out of Dexter Lumis, smashes his hand in the chair. And this leads to Gargano all upset. Gargano has a confrontation with Carmelo Hayes. Pete Dunne gets involved in the mix. And then it's set up for next week. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's the right one. Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano versus Carmelo Hayes in a three-way for the NXT North American Championship. And again, you know, for anybody that's going to complain, oh, you just fly through NXT. NXT is developmental. Not trying to be disrespectful, but you don't spend a boatload of time on a developmental. Seriously. That's just the facts. You know, you're not going to examine a lot of these people under a microscope. Malcolm Bivens, backstage segment, interrupted by Joe Gacy. And Malcolm Bivens tells Joe Gacy if he wants to join Diamond Mine next week, he could get a little tryout. It costs $837.50. Okay, whatever. Dun, 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 dun. Jacket time. Any of you out there think of that song, Hammer Time, MC Hammer? Jacket time, Ikemen Hero. Holy shit, he got a win. He won. Him and Kushida beat Odyssey. Oh, they teamed up with Odyssey Jones. They beat the Creed Brothers and Roderick Strong in a six-man tag. The Grizzled Young Veterans with that segment, like I said earlier, very corny. MSK, still looking for their shaman, however you want to say it, shaman. I say shaman. That 420 stuff, I don't know. I mean, who's it going to be, RVD? MSK, RVD, like, I don't know. Zion Quinn over Andre Chase. Man, they are really behind Zion Quinn. Afterwards, Legado del Fantasma beats the fuck out of him. Santos Escobar is back. Are we going to see Zion Quinn versus Santos Escobar at War Games? Possibly. Raquel Gonzalez. She's going to have a main event match against Dakota Kai. They finally groomed Cameron Grimes. We had a poker segment that was awful. Basically, he's playing cards and what ends up happening is Duke Hudson, he's bluffed by Grimes. Grimes suddenly knows how to play poker really good. Basically, he bluffs Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson folds. Cameron Grimes wins with bullshit. Duke Hudson flips out, beats the crap out of Cameron Grimes. Somehow had scissors and, you know, nearby. Cuts his hair, cuts his beard. It's a little chest hair while you're at it. So obviously we're going to see a trimmed, you know, more groomed Cameron Grimes. Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner over Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs. We had a lashing out segment with Lash Legend talking about Toxic Attraction interrupted by Grayson Waller. And next week, oh, we get this. Oh, lovely. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's not. Oh, it's non-title, but I don't think anybody really going to care all that much. Obviously, this is for Tommaso Ciampa to get a little showcase match because we may get the rematch at War Games of Ciampa versus Bron Breakker. We had a segment with Bron Breakker and Ciampa. And Ciampa bringing up Scott Steiner's old math equations that Bron Breakker, 33 1/3%, sounded like a record. I don't know why so many people got upset that Bron Breakker was laughing at that. I saw absolutely nothing wrong with that segment. I thought it was hilarious that he's throwing references to Scott Steiner's phony math. Too bad we didn't have Samoa Joe. Like, still, like, the, you know, was in the middle, like, making sure that there's no fisticuffs. I would have loved to see Samoa Joe's face with Ciampa cunning Steiner math. So the main event, Raquel Gonzalez beats Dakota Kai by DQ. Basically, we get Toxic Attraction. They interfere in the match. Zoe Stark comes out on crutches. The fuck you going to do? You're on crutches. What are you going to do? Obviously, the crutch comes into play. Io Shirai comes out. And we get a whole clusterfuck to close out the show. And Io Shirai, not William Regal. I would have loved to see William Regal come out with the microphone. That's the new Dam. That's the new Dam. You know, we get, instead of Dam with Farouk, all you have to do is have William Regal come out once a year. War Games. But no, we get Io Shirai. War Games. War Games. And I'm fine with it. So that's what you got. you know, not a bad episode of NXT. I mean, NXT's rating went down again. I think it was like, oh boy, what was NXT's rating? I think it went down to someone in the chat. Could you look on my preview and tell me what the rating was? I know it went down another maybe like, you know, 4 or 5%. You know, it might have even gone down a little bit more than that. I think it's expected. The last 2 weeks, it's gone down because, you know, we're removed from Halloween Havoc. And we're getting back to really the developmental stuff. The special themed episodes will always attract more ratings. But the rating, you know, it's pretty much what you expected to be. You know, it's 516. Thank you, DX Girl. 516. Mike, you're wrong. Michael Gonzalez is 574. No, it's got to be 574. 516 sounds, that's Rampage numbers. Rampage was 516. Thank you, VJ. Well, thank you all anyway for looking. I appreciate it. 574. So they went down 4.8%. Are you all surprised? Even though you can't compare the two, are you all surprised that Rampage's number is now lower than NXT? Just saying, but, you know, I'll repeat, and then we'll start wrapping this up. I didn't forget about the autographs. And we still got a contest of Moxley books. But if you remember, and I said that I always felt that Rampage should be one step below Dynamite, that maybe some people get opportunity that don't normally get on Wednesday, but are too good for Dark and Elevation. And basically, Tony Khan has been treating Rampage like the third hour of Dynamite. And the numbers have been pretty much what I expected them to be. I always said, even before Rampage debuted, I always said 550 to 750. That should be the average. Some weeks you'll get a better number than others. But as much as I know a lot of you are not going to like what I'm going to say, I personally think if Rampage is going to be the third hour of Dynamite, they should have instead 3 hours of Dynamite and no Rampage. Seriously. Or Rampage should be what Elevation is. That's my honest opinion. Does anybody out there really feel, and I'm being sincere, I really would love, and I'm not just saying this to get like better numbers on YouTube or algorithms. I'm really being honest when I say this. Do you truly feel a difference between AEW Dark and AEW Rampage? Elevation. 41 Edgehead. Welcome to the family. I almost broke my mic. Welcome to the family, my friend, 41 Edgehead. Do you feel a big difference between AEW Dark and AEW Elevation? I sure don't. I mean, yes, the wrestlers on Elevation are slightly higher in the food chain, but it feels like almost the same show. There's no identity that's much different between the two. I even said yesterday on Patreon, do you think we should have a champion that's only on Elevation? Something to think about. I'm just throwing ideas out there. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and we've talked about it before. There's a lot of people out there that will put down WWE, rip it apart, complain, bash WWE, but they never, ever give you solutions. The only solution is fire John Laurinaitis, fire Bruce Pritchard, or if you even want to have fun, you have John Laurinaitis, fire Bruce Pritchard, and then Bruce Pritchard says, no, you're the one that's fired. Vince told me to. Can you imagine that? Johnny Ace calling up Bruce Pritchard. Hey, Bruce, I have to tell you, I'm really, really sorry, but your services are no longer required. And Bruce would be like, that's funny. I can't do it. See, I could do Paul Bearer, or Brother Love, but I can't do Bruce Pritchard. But if Bruce Pritchard said, well, that's funny. You know, Vince told me that you're fired. No, you're the one that's fired. And then they fire each other. But that's the solution, everybody. Fuck Vince. Fire Bruce Pritchard, fire John Laurinaitis, fire them again. In fact, fire them, then you tell them, no, we made a mistake, you're not fired. Oh, no, I was like, kidding, you're really all fired. Get the fuck out. You fire them, and you send it to the wrong email address. Send it to their wife instead. John, Bruce, your services are no longer needed. And oh, we accidentally sent it to your wife. We sent it to your significant other. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I swear to God, I wish I would have thought of that sooner for some of my haters. There was one guy last week, I won't mention his name, trying to troll on YouTube until I did a little research and got his email address. And I sent him an email and I said, knock the shit off. Because I have no problem having, you want to play, I'll play. You know, he did, and, you know, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. You know, you get a troll, be good at it. But if you're going to try to, like, take my stuff and try to shit on it, you know, to try to think you're hurting my feelings, you know, you're just going to amp me up even more. So, let's do the Moxley contest. Let's give you the update of Ring of Honor because they're having their final battle. Gives new meaning to the name of the show. So we got a couple of matches announced. You know, there was rumors today that the Briscoes were at Dynamite. I don't know if it's true. I'm not putting it in a synopsis because I have no idea if it's true. A couple of people told me late tonight, the Briscoes are at Dynamite. They're backstage. I'm like, okay. I'll look into it. All right. So here's what we're going to do. This will literally take 30 seconds. We're at an hour and 21 minutes. So we're going to announce the Moxley contest. I'll give you the current lineup for Ring of Honor, and then we'll get into those autographs just to have a little bit of fun. So I just tried to think of something a little bit different for tonight. And like I said, we're not going to just single out AEW. We'll go to Raw. We'll go to SmackDown. We'll go to NXT. And we'll examine some people's autographs. So I think it's kind of funny when you see some of them. So anyway, what I am going to do is I am pulling up. This is behind the scenes for last week's show. And as you see, look, I'm going to do with my mouse like a number zero so you can see this is live. This is not, you know, pre-recorded. And last week, in your comments, all you had to do is after you write your comment, you put hashtag Mox, M-O-X. Oop, sorry. I gave him a prize anyway, I think, on Monday. But I forgot to put the hashtag in there. So we pick a winner. And obviously, in order to win on your comment last week, you had to put hashtag Mox. So I am going to hit this green button twice. And whoever comes up, you win your copy of brand new John Moxley autobiography. And if you live outside of the United States, if you look it up, Moxley's book is not being released in the UK and other places until February of next year. That's no problem on this show. Because Shezi Ali lives in England. Hopefully, Shezi, you don't get mad I said that. And I got a book shipped out to him. It's on its way to England. So wherever you live, you are invited to be in these contests. So congrats to Brian Becerra. Brian Becerra, baby's looking like Von Wagner. Yeah, I know. I said that last week. Some people got angry at that. I got some DMs like, you know, what the fuck's your problem with Von Wagner? I'm like, nothing. I'm just having some fun. So thank you, Brian. You're a winner. And also a winner tonight. Hold on. George Douglas McFly. Oh, man. Your wife is hot, though. Your wife is hot. I got to be honest with you. I was very tempted to take the Jigel rag out in 1985. Maybe I could get the DeLorean and go back to 1985 and actually whip out the Jigel rag. So congrats. Congrats, George Douglas McFly. I know a lot of you frequent the chat room with him. So congrats to both of you. By the way, you know, as you can see in the corner over here, there we go, Blue Wire. I want you all to support BlueWirePods.com. And, you know, we're not going to get into that tonight, but the next day or two, you will see my shows on their network. There was some technical issues with moving my shows over, so they're trying to fix that before it launches. But, you know, some of the shows are already obviously on their network as of 2 days ago. But, you know, once it's on there, we'll have the official announcement. And I tell you, I can't wait to be alongside those other shows. It just looks funny. It really does. I mean, I'm honored and I'm up for the challenge. And I'm telling you, and I'm not kissing your asses. You give me about 6 months on that network And I guarantee you our shows will be maybe number one or number two amongst wrestling. Because now what's happening is something that I should have done almost 20 years ago. And I'll say this, take me literally 30 seconds. What I did when I started bringing my hotline reports and bringing them on the net back in the early 2000s, you had all of these radio networks online and, you know, they would say, you know, submit your podcast, submit your show, submit your show. And there was like an RSS file, if anybody knows what that is. And about, I don't know, 16, 17, 18 years ago, any network out there that allowed me to post my show, I put it on there. Never read the fine print, never realized that some of them would create their own files and they would get commercial revenue and I get nothing. And my show's just lingering everywhere. So basically, I hope this doesn't piss off anybody, but basically my show is like a slut. It's basically spread out everywhere that there's so many different places where you could access it that if I start removing those places and now I'm a one-person person, you know, what happened to so-and-so? He or she used to be a slut. Anybody could go with it. Now it's going to be all in one place. So now everybody's going to be forced to just, yeah. So that's what happens. I just wanted my name out there. You know, so I just put it everywhere, not realizing that I lost a boatload of cash over it. But it's okay. It's all right. So anyway, let's have a little fun. I was trying to figure out what we're going to do for contests in the future. I want to incorporate some more AEW memorabilia here. Now, unfortunately, I don't have like plaques and merchandise like from the ring use stuff and things like that. So everybody's telling me photos, photos, photos. So I started checking them out and I started thinking about it. You know, like Roman Reigns, for example. I don't know if any of you out there ever seen an autograph from Roman Reigns, but all it is two R's. Two R's. I don't remember which wrestler it was. But I remember about 20 years ago going to an autograph signing and I got an autograph and I swear to God, it looked like this. It looked like that. I don't know if you could see that. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You just do this. Didn't George the Animal Steel just used to write an X? You know, like, come on, man, I'm paying $40 for an autograph and you just scribble like that. So I was curious. I wanted to see what the AEW autographs look like. I want to see how some people sign. Oh, shout out to Nero Faye. Nero, I kind of feel bad. Well, actually, I don't feel bad because you won a contest the other day. I owe you some money. But Nero Faye, he had surgery, biopsy. I don't want to go more into it, but he is recovering. So I'm glad you're doing better, my friend. Much love to you. Shout out to you. My soul super chat tonight. No, it's all good. As long as you're tuning in, as long as you enjoy the show, smash that like button. Tell your friends, family about it. Let them know that I exist. And, you know, you might get a couple like, what are you, freaking nuts? I'm not tuning into that guy. But it's all good. And by the way, the sit-down that we did Sunday, you know what? You know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. I'll show you something. This is, I know we showed it for our, for my channel members. By now, they've all seen it. But a new show is coming here and is going to debut. It looks like it's going to be every Sunday. We're just trying to figure out the time. Might be 8 o'clock p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern. We may start a little earlier, may start a little later. But basically what Sundays will be is a call-in show. Nothing but calls. Calls and some chat as well. We did a pilot episode on Sunday. I can honestly tell you I'm blown away at all of the positive response. Everybody that called in had awesome topics. If you look at Sunday's show and just look at the synopsis and you see some of the topics discussed, I mean, it pretty much covered the gamut. And not all of it was wrestling either. So because I'm going away next week, I think the show's going to officially debut. I mean, I might do one this Sunday. I don't know, but within the next 2 weeks, this is going to launch, and once it launches, it's here to stay. So I'm going to be up here literally almost every single day. But the good thing is, we're only at 90 minutes right now. So from now on, my goal is the shows are going to be around 90 minutes. So last week, we did a couple of shows, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. So when you realize these shows are going to end an hour to an hour and a half earlier, you won't have to spend 20 hours. You know, you could see more of the shows and it'll force me to condense it. So if you want a little sneak preview of the intro for the sit down, hey, I'll give it to you now. This is a sneak preview of the intro for the sit down. Listen to it closely because there's like a little phrase in the background. I wanted to have more added to it, but beggars cannot be choosy.
It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey! What are you looking at? Eh? What are you looking at? We just needed to come up with something quick so we could launch it. So stay tuned. We'll have an announcement. But anyway, check out. I just want to show you. Let's take a look at some autographs. So in case you were ever curious what your favorite AEW wrestler's autographs look like now, unfortunately, CM Punk is not on there. Bryan Danielson is not on there. Not every wrestler is selling photos through AEW. So not every wrestler is on here. This is just a brief overview. So we could just get a look and see what some of these wrestlers' autographs look like. For me, and you know what? For me, I'll show you because I still have them on my desk. All right? I have some autographs on my desk. See, like Finn Balor? I like Finn Balor. But it looks like Michael J. Fox signed this. Let's be honest. I mean, could you just pitch him like, Finn, we need you to sign 200 of these. That's what it looks like. Am I lying? So if I'm going to pay money or if you're going to pay big money for an autograph, you know, you want to get something that's nice, something that looks good. Charlotte's, this was, I think, Charlotte's rookie card. You know, I like her, you know, very nice. Paige, I happen to have this one sitting on the desk. I don't know why I only have women sitting on the desk. I know that sounds perverted, but that's Paige's. I always commented about AJ Lee. Yeah, look at AJ Lee's. She's always just put AJ. AJ. And yes, for all of you that tuned in on Monday, if you wanted at the big event this weekend to get autograph from AJ and a picture with her, a Polaroid, $450. I wasn't kidding. I showed you from their website. By the way, if any of you out there that went, or if any of you out there that saw reports of that signing, once again, what is it with wrestling fans? What has changed? Is there, like, I know some symptoms from COVID is like chest congestion and cough. I don't recall a symptom from COVID being like body odor. All I kept reading in reports was that it smelled like ass in the Marriott. It's like AJ, actually, they put her in a different room that it smelled like rotten frogs. I mean, I got so many people that went to the big event this weekend and they said, DT, yeah, you know, some of the people didn't show. Malachi didn't show. Eddie Kingston didn't show. And yeah, you know, it was kind of like congested and it wasn't run as smooth as 2 years ago. But my God, it smelled like people died in there. Like who leaves the house like smelling like sweaty balls? And then thinks, oh man, yeah, I can't wait to meet my favorite wrestler of all time and smell like sweaty balls. That place smelled horrendous. Telling you, smelled like rotten frogs. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, so if you're curious to see how some AEW wrestlers sign their photos, let's take a look. You think, because everybody knows him as 10, you think he would write the number 10 somewhere? He's Preston Vance, 10. Everybody in the tournament, he was 10. So you think he would sign it as 10? You think he would put 10 somewhere? No, he just writes Preston. Preston what? Lazy. Sorry, I'm being honest. Lazy as fuck. All right, let's continue. Abaddon, I like her autograph because she's supposed to be a monster, and a monster shouldn't have great handwriting skills. In fact, she would probably be perfect to scribble, but she actually writes out her name. I am a fan of Abaddon. Okay, The Butcher and the Blade. Now, I'm sorry if anybody that might be on a phone, you might not be able to see this. A Butch, with all due respect, and Blade. If you get a sign in black fucking ink, how's about maybe writing it in a little bit of a brighter area? Don't write it on your jacket that's the same color. It almost looks like they just put fuck. Doesn't Butch's look like FCK with exclamation point? Blade, you can't even read it. You can't even read it. That I think is inexcusable. See, when I do mine, when people ask me for autographs, yes, people do sometimes. I make sure I sign it in a place that's visible. Okay, this was my favorite one of them all. You see Darby Allin's autograph? You know what it reminded me of immediately? Chat room. If anybody watches his back on a replay, they will see the live chat. Chat room. If anybody out there collects autographs, what does that look like? What does that look like? Shout out to the first person that gets it right. What does that remind you of? There's got to be someone in the chat room that's going to nail it. Let me see. Because look at that. Is that lazy? Or thank you, Darren Gordon Hill. You get the credit, Darren. You get the credit. This is what it looked like. Look. Two lazy motherfuckers, man. Two lazy motherfuckers. I mean, if Moxley now writes MOX, I'm fine with that. But come on, man. You mean to tell me that you can't just... Two initials, DA. DA. I mean, that's lazy. That is lazy. I'm sorry. There's no way I'm paying big-time money for that just to get DA. I mean, nothing against Darby Allin. It looks like a five-year-old drew it. The D looks like someone that's... You remember in school... When they had, like, you had the lines and you had to draw your letters in the line and you had to keep it in the line. And then you drew the letter really, really slow because you wanted to be perfectly between the two lines. That's what the D looks like. It looks like a child. And look, there's nothing against Darby Allin's career. I freaking like Darby Allin. That autograph is horrible. All right, Stu Grayson. Apparently doesn't know handwriting, and you'd be surprised how many people in this generation that don't know how to handwrite. They only know how to script. I have customers that come in my office, and they want, like, DMV form signed, and I'll say, okay, sign this DMV form, and they print it. And I'm like, no, sign it. No, that's the way I sign. They sign how they print because they never learned handwriting. I'm surprised Evil Uno doesn't put a number one. Just being honest. They're not all bad, everybody. Okay, Dustin's. I like Dustin's. Dustin Rhodes, very, very nice. I have no problem with Dustin Rhodes. Let's continue. Eddie Kingston. Okay. It's a fucking scribble of a letter K. I've been following Eddie Kingston for almost 20 years. I love that guy's career. I love to see where he's in, what he's doing now. I mean, big inspiration from here in New York. Got to witness a lot of his matches when nobody knew who he was. But that is a lazy fucking order. That's a scribble of a... It's either a letter K or it looks like a number one and a W. Right? It's a K for Kingston. That is lazy, in my opinion. Sorry. I don't care how much I like the guy. I ain't spending that on an autograph. That's lazy. Fuego del Sol, look at it. It's for people that can't see it, it's below his right hand. You could see it briefly. I mean, he's writing it like tiny. You got a whole giant photo there. You know, how's about writing it a little bit bigger? How's about writing it in silver ink? That is awful. I know, right? I mean, AEW, buy some fucking silver and gold pens. What's wrong with you? It's not that hard. All right, let's continue. I like Powerhouse Hobbs. That is nice. You could see that guy takes his time, signs it with pride. And yeah, I like Powerhouse Hobbs's autograph. I wish it would have been maybe in the right-hand corner, that it would stand out a little bit more. But very nice handwriting. I like Hobbs. So far, out of all of them, I like Hobbs. All right, let's continue. There's not too many left. Okay, more lazy people. This is Marco Stunt, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. Look at Luchasaurus. It's an L and an S. I mean, how lazy could you be? I mean, that to me, I hate that. That's what I hate. You look at wrestlers. Look, I know I'm older. You look at wrestlers back in the 80s and the 90s. Look at The Undertaker. Look at Bret Hart. Look at Shawn Michaels. Look at their autographs. A lot of wrestlers from back in the day signed, proudly signed it, took their time. Now it just looks like, all right, let me just scribble whatever. That is fucking lazy. Look at that. That's Jurassic Express. That's three autographs on there. And it just looks like a baby scribbled on it. Looks like a baby scribbled on it. All right, let's continue. I like Kenny Omega's. You could tell, even though you really can't make out the name, you know, the Omega symbol, you know, that obviously is where the O is supposed to be. But you could see that that takes a little bit of time to sign. So I like Kenny Omega's autograph. I actually, I think that autograph looks very, very nice. All right, continuing. All right, here, Kip Sabian, Penelope Ford. Another very nice autographs. You know, you could see that, you know, they probably take a lot of pride in signing these photos. I mean, unfortunately, I'm sure if they signed 500, there's probably 498 still for sale because they probably bought their own. But very, very nice autographs. I wouldn't mind giving away one of these on the shows, for real. Beautiful signed autographs. Let's continue. Lance Archer, his autograph is really nice as well. I wish it would have been done in different ink, maybe gold. You know, it just, it blends in with that green and it just looks like it's cut off. I don't know if there's a Jade Cargill autograph yet. There might be one here. There might be one. Let me see. Cause I, like I said, I don't have everybody. You know what? I don't have Jade Cargill's because it would have been under the letter J. Maybe I could pull it up really quick before we go, but that's Mark Henry's. Again, Mark Henry is old school. And his signature, his autograph reflects it. Nyla Rose, another nice autograph. A little scribbly, but still, she takes the time to actually write her name. Penta. Penta used to write a little bit more. If anybody remembers the Lucha Bros signed photo that I gave away last year, I mean, he used to write Penta El Zero Miedo. But still, nice autograph, and that's supposed to be a zero, you know, so I like it. I have no complaints there. Red Velvet, very nice, but seriously, whoever chose these pens, it's awful. Not, I tell you the truth, I think it's more the photos of choice. I think they got to use different photos with some of these pens because they're really not very good photos that should be autographed. So, but she's got a nice handwriting. We're almost done. Sammy Guevara, he takes the time and actually writes Spanish God as well. So I give Sammy Guevara a boatload of credit. That is a nice autograph and takes the time to write everything out. Guevara, very, very nice autograph. If we're on S, that means Sting's got to be coming up. Well, not yet. Santana and Ortiz, that's fine as well because they usually go by Santana, not Mike Santana. It's Santana and Ortiz. So that, very nice autographs. I will say in hindsight, looking at these now, very awful decisions as far as the photos themselves. It's not even like post photos. It's just like, let's just grab like photos as if they were live in the audience. I don't know. I'm a little bit confused why they would be like take shortcuts like that. Serena Deeb, beautiful, beautiful autograph. I like Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb's very, very professional. She probably has the nicest photo out of, well, Sting's when I show you is really nice as well, but nice white background. It stands out. Serena Deeb's autograph looks very nice. There's Sting. I think we all know Sting's autograph by now. I actually do have autograph photos here inside that I could give away. And his autograph, you know, very nice. I mean, you know, there's obviously he's only goes by one name, so you wouldn't expect anything different. That's a nice looking photo. Ty Conti, another autograph. Very nice. You know, you could see that she takes her time signing the photos. So decent autograph. And the Acclaimed, another. You know, Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. You know, they fill out their names. And nice autographs as well. SRH John, do I know why AEW does not put out the Dynamite videos on YouTube right away? Because they have agreements with their TV networks and advertisers that they wait, say, even with WWE. Nick Khan just said on a conference call recently as far as why you don't see, like, some of their shows airing on certain streaming networks right away. I think that's going to change in the next year or two. So, no, they fulfill. Look, it's almost like if you want to compare it to us with Patreon, a lot of shows, a lot of people out there that have Patreons, what they'll do is they'll air a show on Patreon first, and then a day or two later, they release it to everybody. That's what most places do. In fact, I have had so many of you say that you would love to be able to tune into the Patreon shows without having to sign up. I mean, you know, you've got bills to pay. I don't expect everybody to sign up five different places, but that is something that I've been thinking about also. Some Patreon shows, after it airs live and streams for a day or two on Patreon, maybe make it public for everyone else. But that's why they have to wait a certain amount of time before they can air it on YouTube and other places. Because the money they make on the advertising is a hell of a lot more than YouTube. Tony Schiavone's got a beautiful looking autograph. You could tell Tony takes his time signing these. So props to Tony Schiavone for a really nice looking autograph. And I think we're almost done. Okay, there is Top Flight. Yeah. Dante Martin used to team up with someone else. I know nobody ever talks about Demetrius anymore, but oh my God. See, you're even getting his name wrong. Dante Martin, nice autograph. I can't complain about them. You know, they actually, again, the photo is not really the greatest photo. Yeah, I kind of feel bad that he's been injured, so that's why we haven't seen him on TV. When he comes back, I got to see what they do with him because they have, you know, Dante Martin with Leo Rush, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens when he's able to return. So do we have any left? Oh, Vicky. Vicky with a nice-looking autograph. She takes the time and actually writes, excuse me, in quotes. You know, now you could see that she's a little more professionally with the photo as far as how she signs. She could tell the background and she knows exactly where to sign, so it's clear. And really nice photo, you know, really nice. Vicky autograph's nice. I think that's it. Yeah, so we're back with Preston Vance. Miss me? So let me see if I could pull up the Jane Cargill since somebody wanted to see it. Let me see. All right, let me pull it up. Okay, I found it. Let me pull up Jade Cargill's. I'll show you all what Jade Cargill's looks like. Just hold on. I'm looking. Is she even on here? She might not even be on here. I don't see Jade. I'm looking. Just bear with me for a second, and we're going to wrap this up. Jade Cargill. Oh, yes, she's here. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm a little bit surprised that this did not get on my list earlier because I must have accidentally it was an oversight. Let me show you what hers looks like. Hang on one second. Let's see. Let's save this. Oh, it's saved as a web page file. Oh, this is not good. Hold on. I don't know, for some reason. Oh, wait, here we go. I got it. Okay, here's Jade Cargill's. Let me show you Jade Cargill's. That is Jade Cargill's. I don't know if you could see it in the lower left-hand corner. Again, more fucking scribbles. Seriously. Now, you know what she's going to say. Yeah, I scribble. What the fuck are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do about it? It's just like a J, and I don't know. What's the dot for? I know there's an I in Cargill, but that's her autograph for somebody that asked. That's your J Cargill autograph. So that's it, everybody. We got to wrap this up. The autograph segment went a little longer than I thought, but we had fun. We're still under 2 hours. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. So I'm going to jet out of here. And if you are around tomorrow, we're going to do Q&A. It'll pretty much just be questions from the chat. Might stream some vintage wrestling stuff. I don't know if maybe I'll stream some of yours truly. I got to look. I mean, I there's been so much stuff going on. I haven't had the time to like look at my old retro stuff. But yeah, Benjamin, I know it's a few minutes over today, but I wanted to do the autograph thing since I advertised it. If we didn't do the autograph thing, we would have been at 90 minutes. But Charlie Conway, I could give a flying fuck about Steve Bannon being indicted. So if you want to ask about it tomorrow, we could talk about it a little bit more. But for tonight, I say goodnight. I thank you all, as always, for your support. And keep spreading the word. And that's it. So everyone, I'll see you all tomorrow night. And don't forget to schedule next week, because I will be taking a few days off. But and make sure you check out the community section tomorrow, because I will put up the thread for the rapid fire. As of right now, I don't know if Mish is going to be part of it. I got to ask him, but he is so busy with his schedule. I don't know if he's going to be part of it. But when I put the announcement up, you'll know exactly if it's going to be me or if he's going to be on as well. So everyone, have a great night. Thank you as always for the support, and I'll see you soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.